Welcome to Definitely Maybe Agile, a podcast where Peter Madison and David Shurrock discuss the complexities of adopting new ways of working at scale.
Hello, Dave. How are you today?
So, Peter, I gather you're on the different side of the Atlantic to the usual.
Yes. I'm in the UK this week, which makes for a bit of a change. You know, it's
so your accent's going to strengthen, right? You're going to get more and more strongly English.
Yes, as this call goes on. Yeah, that's by the end of this, I'll just sound completely English. That's the way it's going to go. And I'm operating on about 2 hours sleep, so you're probably going to get the cynical side of me today.
I look forward to it. So actually, this is a great starting point. So I just came from a conference where one of the speakers, a Business Agility Institute conference in New York last week, and one of the speakers there started his talk with, "Are we having fun yet?" So Peter, are we having fun yet?
Oh, I don't know about you, but I am sure. We were talking about this a little before about the reference to, as we go in as coaches and change agents into organizations, the ultimate outcome we're looking for is to help the organization improve. And one of the things we understand really, really well is that happy teams are high performing teams. That the improving how the organization feels about itself is a great way to improve the productivity and, well, just make people happier. I mean, that's a good thing, right? It's where we all want to be.
Well, I mean, I think the context that we're talking about, this is for the topic of our conversation today. Sometimes we get so zoomed in or focused in on particular aspects of the transformation, whether it's how leadership interacts with the transformation process or technology side or whatever it might be. There's lots of different topics that we might look at, but every now and again, it's good to kind of draw back from our conversations and just remember what is it that the organizations that we're working with and helping are trying to achieve. And that's that bit of, are we having fun yet? We've got to remember the purpose, the reason that we're going in there is actually to get some results, to see some impact as a result of the work that we're doing.
Yeah. And the one of the key elements underlying that is that anytime you go into an organization, that organization is made up of the individuals that work in that particular organization. Yeah. So thinking you can come in and cookie cutter something that happened somewhere else and just slide it right on in into this organization, it's like taking a stamp. We're just going to like cut out this bit and we're going to take a model and we're going to put it over the top of this and expecting that you're going to get exactly the same results. That's where things start to fail. And I think one of John Smart's comment, I don't know if he was the original one to say it, but the whole invite over inflict. I find quite often that when these transformations come in, it ends up being inflict over invite. It's like, do it my way. It's, well, you know, restructure.
Yeah, I think what's really important to reflect on, and as change agents, when we're working with organizations, is to, I really liked just drawing back to the fact that we started the call saying, you've had a couple of hours sleep, obviously you've traveled over and you know, that can play merry, whatever it is, with whatever we're going through, right? But I think the critical thing is maintaining our energy levels and keeping people's focus on the purpose that we're working with them, and rather than drilling in and inflicting, as you said, inflicting practices and policies and so on to the teams and the leadership that we work with, is much more a case of being that sort of inspirational, visionary individual to keep people's mind on where they're going and the purpose for what we're doing, that impact. So when I think of business agility, no organization that has agility in their business is tied to specific agile practices. They're continuously modifying and improving them because the context, the situation within which they're working is changing. Their eye is not on the practice, it's on the impact that they are having on the market. Well, are their customers, are they exceeding their customers' expectations? Are they a trusted partner with their customers that is relied on to deliver whatever product or service that they are delivering? Rather than, do they ever stand up every day and is it 15 minutes long and not 35 minutes long?
Yeah, are we getting the outcomes that we're looking for? Yeah. Are we? Because as we look at the practices and the methods that we do, we know that we've some things will work, but it's introducing them in a way that we're looking to create those outcomes. It isn't the practice for the sake of the practice. It's the practice for the sake of the outcome. And if we try something and it doesn't have the outcome that we're expecting, we need to be open to say, to changing, to looking at something else and considering, okay, what might work instead? Like, but maybe there's different structures, different things that have happened here before. There's more resistance to certain ways of thinking about things, or that there are certain ways of thinking about things that people will leap on and say, oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to take that. I'm going to run with it. And it'll be even more successful because people are bought into that concept, or they'll expand or build on it and create something completely new. But it's helping them experiment and look at the different practices and see where they can go with that. And essentially, like, are they having fun yet? Are we getting to where we want to?
Well, I mean, as you were just walking through that idea there, Peter, I was just thinking, we've got to keep in mind what the outcome is that we're after. And I feel that especially in these larger transformations or in organizations where, I mean, we're under a lot of pressure to get things done. So we focus on the things that we can control, like in introducing a new activity or new practice, rather than focusing on the outcomes that we desire as a result of that. And I think our role as change agents is first and foremost to remind everyone to first of all identify what that outcome is, make sure it's clearly defined and locked in, but then is continually come back and remind the individuals, the teams, the leadership that we're working with, this is the outcome. Are we making progress towards? Are we having fun and making progress towards this outcome? Let's put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. And when we look at this even down to that the technical practice level, when we're talking about thing like, what are we actually trying to achieve? We're not trying to achieve the implementation of the underlying tooling that we're, and the onboarding onto that tool or the particular method. What we're trying to achieve is we're trying to shorten feedback. We're trying to make things visible. We're trying to understand where the bottlenecks are in the work so that we can know where to focus and we know what to address. So that's the outcome we're looking for, not the thing that gets us there.
Well, we touched on, I think you mentioned earlier on that, I know I've certainly seen this, where individuals bring to the table the practices that worked in their previous workplace, their previous group, whatever it might be, division and so on. And so they bring those practices, and we've got to bear in mind that the practices are contextually driven. So the practices that worked yesterday in the previous place that we were applying them may not be the right practices for today, but the principles carry over. And I feel that's one of those things that when we apply certain practices, we always have to recognize that these practices are a way of driving certain principles forward. The principles we bring to our next change program that we're working on, our next transformation, but the practices may have to adjust. And I'm reminded of this. I had a conversation yesterday with a technical team, and that technical team was talking about CICD, continuous integration and continuous deployment and delivery. And their idea of continuous integration and deployment was the team committing, like sending out merge requests, basically, to get senior engineers to do the review, a manual review on that, before those merge requests were merged and sent through to development and production. And what's interesting is when I look at that, I'm thinking that's a manual process that is not going to scale. And what we actually want to do is look at test automation and how do we automate that process so that feedback is generated automatically. The key here is the practices are irrelevant. They are situationally dependent. Depending on what your needs are, you may want to go for a fully automated process. You may want to go for a manual process that's a little bit more kind of point and click, if you like. However, the principles are the same in both cases. The principle is about rapid feedback and about getting that feedback as fast as possible. The difference is, in some cases, feedback in hours or even overnight is actually very, very rapid and fantastic and just what's needed. In other cases, that feedback, that rapid feedback, has to be measured in seconds. So again, totally different contexts will have different solutions to the same problem. And the principles are what we want to look at, not the practices.
I agree. And I think one of the interesting conversations I had last week with this lady was talking about her organization and some of the challenges that they'd run into. And one of them was they'd adopted a principle of continuous improvement. And the continuous improvement is a mindset and a way of approaching things. And they'd introduced various sort of practices alongside this. But then they'd also started to hire people with a continuous improvement background. And one of the things they'd noticed over time was that as they brought in people all with continuous improvement, the title, they all had different practices. So even though there was kind of this idea of continuous, they all wanted to do it a different way. And so when they all started to try and do their things, the way they had done it before, they weren't aligned at all.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because you get used to it. You use the tools that you're familiar with. And so even though the principle we can all agree on identically, and I think this is, you know, we've seen that when we're working together as well. The fact that we agree on the principles doesn't mean we agree on the practices as to how to achieve that. And I think this is where, I mean, you know, if we take anything away from this kind of conversation, this back and forth here is in order to understand how to apply those principles, first of all, we need to know the outcome. What is it that we're trying to achieve? And secondly, we need contextual information. We need to understand the sorts of pressures the organization is under, what they're competing with in the marketplace, what sort of environment they're in, so that we can understand what practices are appropriate given the outcomes they're trying to achieve and the context or the situation that they are currently in, that situational awareness.
And I said I was going to be more cynical, but one of the comments that I've always really liked was this idea that nobody cares about your methodology. It's like it's everything you're... whatever you're tied to is that, but that's not the thing that they care about. They want the outcomes. They want the thing you're looking to create for them.
and as you're describing that, Peter, I'm just thinking straight away, like, and are we having fun yet? They don't care about methodology because they're going to go hang out with you and apply your methodology because A, it gets the outcomes they want, and B, they're having fun while they do it.
Yeah. Well, if they come hang out with me and then Harry will buy them a beer and then we can all have some fun.
I've got a feeling one beer and you'll be asleep. So
yes, probably
at the moment.
So how should we sum this conversation up for our listeners?
Right. So I really let's, you know, are we having fun yet? The two things that we care about, are we having fun yet? And I don't know that we touched on it very much, but definitely like that has to be a big piece of what we're thinking about. People want to hang around people who are fun to be with rather than, and the results are kind of, we're enjoying the results, right? And sometimes we've got to remind ourselves of that. So that's that, are we having fun yet piece.
I was going to add to that. So, and generally we are having more fun when things are going well. There's a whole conversation there around that. How do you have fun when things aren't going well? And how do you respond in those instances and what that generates as a cultural norm, but maybe for another day. I think we've touched on that on a number of occasions, but
yeah. Well, yeah. And then I think that's that other one is around the outcomes, right? So, and what I'm reminded of as we're having this conversation, I think, is make sure we know the outcomes right at the beginning. We need to know those outcomes. We've got to be able to articulate them. We've got to be able to see them, measure them, and make progress, because it's that old adage of playing football without a goalpost, right? If you can't score a goal, you're not playing anything. You're just running around in circles or whatever it might be. So we've got to create some sort of purpose and measurable outcome that we can chase.
Yeah, and I think as the last point there, or the third one, is because we like to have our threes, is the not copying somebody else's model. Like, don't inflict what you saw work somewhere else on your organization. Look at what the outcomes are. Maybe, and there is the caveat that maybe what worked elsewhere will work where you are. I mean, by all means, try it. I mean, like, see it. But remember to be looking for the outcomes you're looking to create from that, and don't get tied into that method being the way to do it because it worked elsewhere. So it's got to work here with these people in this context, with this business. It's got to be what you need, that what's going to work here.
Well, and for me, the thing that you carry over are the principles and understanding of the principles, the practices you can adjust. So
yes,
yeah, fantastic.
Yeah. Well, with that in mind, I mean, if anybody has any feedback at definitelymaybeagile.com, and don't forget to hit subscribe, because we've got to remember to remind people to do that.
Right. And you have a fantastic few days in the UK. Enjoy. Get that accent strengthened as you come back. So
I'll definitely try.
And until next time, thanks again, Peter. As always, a pleasure.
Until next time. Thanks.
You've been listening to Definitely Maybe Agile, the podcast where your hosts, Peter Madison and David Sharrock, focus on the art and science of digital, agile, and DevOps at scale.